Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. And I hope every week as you listen that between my guests and myself that we do inspire you, number one, but also hopefully we provide strategies and different tips that you can implement immediately after listening to the show and help you navigate whatever change that you're dealing with right now in your life, whether it's personal or professional. To help you on this road to change, I also have a little tool for you right out of the gate. It's free. Go to my website, whitmanassoc.com/, and it's CSA for your communication style assessment. You get a report that gives you what your superpowers are, which is really good to know because we want to build on strength. It also gives you what your blind spots are, which may be even more important because we can make sure that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot to make more mistakes because we're unaware of something. So again, go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA. Free, take it, and I hope the information is useful to you immediately. If you're loving the show, my last big ask here is please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And then if you can go rate and review, I love reading the notes and they really do fill me with joy every time I see one of your messages. So again, please rate, review, and subscribe if you have not done that already. Now, my motivational quote today is by John Maxwell. And John says, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. So leadership has received so much attention, I think, especially during the whole COVID situation where we realize that what we need is truly enlightened leadership, nothing else. And how can you be an enlightened leader that helps your team reach new levels and contributes to the value of each member and to the company at large? Well, my guest today is Dr. Natalie Forrest, and Natalie is the CEO, Intuitive Transformation Mentor, Corporate Leadership and Teamwork Trainer, Business Development Expert, internationally best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Now, as an intuitive transformational mentor, Natalie is the founder of Success Revolutions and Revolutionize Your Podcast, a series of educational training for individuals and corporations across the globe. Her engaged methods and techniques address human commitment, that's your human capital, leadership, diversity, and change management, leading to increased productivity, teamwork, retention, resulting obviously in higher profitability, authentic fulfillment, and less stress. Sign me up. So please help me welcome my amazing guest, Natalie, to the show. So Natalie, thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you, Connie. I just want to take that assessment now to see what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses?
Yeah. And it's funny, when I train and I coach and I teach, I always say blind spots or areas of develop, because I believe we don't have weaknesses. We just have things we didn't know were there, right? Or things that we're never actually going to be good at, we should still be mindful of, right? Because just because I'm not good at something doesn't mean I shouldn't be aware and try to compensate by hiring someone or, asking someone's advice. If that situation comes up that it's your blind spot, know it's a blind spot. Go and ask for advice, do research and those kinds of things. So I think it's really understanding blind spots is important, right? Overall for us as humans.
Well, not just that, but it's also meaning not just the fact that you have a blind spot, but there's things sometimes that you don't want to do. You know, you can do them, you may be very good at them, but you really would prefer not to do them. And
absolutely,
that's why we do the strength weakness analysis, right? To say, okay, this is what I'm good at, this is what I'd rather outsource, et cetera, et cetera.
No,
I think it's crucial in life.
In life, yeah. Forget about business, right? So
yeah.
My first question, are managers leaders?
Not necessarily.
I love this question because this is everybody listening, managers, just because you're a manager, right? That doesn't mean you're a leader. So explain that, because I agree with what you just said, just with that now.
Well, and I have to be straight up with it, because a manager is somebody who has a position, right? An official position in a company. And you manage things, you manage animals, you manage products, and they're all different, you know. Maybe you might manage projects, okay? But all of that is you manage them, and you can manage those things usually from a desk or with just writing something down. That is managing. That's more the analytical approach to things. A leader is more than that. A leader, number one, doesn't have to have a position. So you can have your team member sitting right next to you in the next cubicle, actually being the leader of the whole team.
That's right.
While the manager is doing something else. The leader is somebody who engages, who knows the other people on the team, and who has a vision for where it can go. In that, they have to be compassionate, understanding, and most of all, vulnerable and honest. And that can be anybody in the team. So hopefully more managers are becoming leaders, because we don't need more managers. I think what we have seen in the last few years, number of years, and especially lately, with situations that require us to be more absent from the real office, the people who are positionally in a company above us that we report to, they need to know who we are. And that's partially why I don't like to talk about human capital, because that to me is another analytical term. It's really much more about the commitment. How can you get people to commit and dedicate themselves to the same mission? And that's where a leader comes in. They have the vision, they live the vision, and most of all, if you're a really good leader, you're not even on the front. You're usually in the back being the cheerleader. That's a cheerleader, right? So that's I think, a very, very important distinction. The other thing I will add is that what I have found, and this may be stereotypical or may just apply to me, there are a lot of people who say they're leaders. They're not necessarily are. They want to be leaders. They want the spotlight. But if it's more about that person than the team or the project or the vision, then they're not necessarily leaders. So that's my long-winded answer to your question.
Yeah, and it's a great answer, though, Nat, because here's the thing. You know, I believe managers manage processes, which we have to do, right? That's part of our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Leaders lead through people. We get results mm-hmm. through the people. And you said a couple of things that I think are really important that I want everyone to really listen for a second here, because, you know, we have to be vulnerable. Good leaders are vulnerable. Good leaders are willing to learn. Good leaders are curious. Good leaders don't think they know everything and know that they don't have to know everything, right? So I think leadership is leading through people, dispersing power, right? And empowering others to do what their zone of genius is, whatever that is. And that's what makes the team better, because I'm leveraging all of the strengths of the people, you know, hopefully on my team effectively. And it was funny, with COVID, one of my clients asked me to do a Zoom meeting early on and talk about leadership in crisis, right? That was the topic. And we did just a 45-minute Zoom meeting. And one of the market managers, who's like a middle management, I said, I was asking questions, you know, and one of the questions was, Zoom, it's available to everybody, right? The company had brought it in. They all had accounts. Right. So I says, how many times have you Zoomed with your employees? You should be doing it daily, because this was early on with COVID, probably in April when we did this. Mm. So everybody was still scared, Natalie, because we didn't know what the heck was going on. We didn't,
right.
We still thought you could touch a surface and get it,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So, and people, they were in branches live with clients. And at that point, they hadn't started with the mandatory masks, and they mm-hmm. didn't have reduced hours and scheduling appointments and all of this. It happened to be a bank, the client. And at the end, the gentleman emailed me and he said, oh my gosh, I think I'm leading right through example, but he's running around and emailing them. He said, I haven't seen them, and I'm Zooming every day. We've scheduled it. And he says, and I'm letting them know I'm scared too. And I responded to his email and I said, I'm so glad that one tip resonated with you. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to admit that you're scared as crap too, because none of us knew what was going on. And it's just so funny, because he thought He was doing everything he needed via email, being connected, when really they just wanted to see him so that he could see they were okay and they could see he was okay. So isn't that funny how what we think, and as soon as you ask someone, what do you need from me, right, as a leader, the answers sometimes, I think, surprise us. So it's just fascinating. You know, how we can, and here's the deal too, right, Natalie, curiosity, I use that word before, leaders have to be curious. We can always get better at leading.
Oh yeah, all the time. And you know, one thing that stuck out was from what you said, you know, they want to see them, right? It's not just they want to see them, it's the human touch, right?
Yes.
And you know, so when you have a Zoom meeting, anybody listening, when you have a Zoom meeting, camera should be on.
Oh,
okay?
Yes.
Just a hint, okay? I don't care what you wear underneath, like with my slippers, but you know, it's just something where we want to see the other person. It's similar to, think about it, when you write an email, there are hundreds of ways in which the recipient can interpret that email.
That's right.
There's a word in there that might trigger me. And you didn't mean it. Like, I had a conversation just this morning and somebody said something like, that gets me a little bit, right? But I had to understand where he was coming
from.
That's
right.
In an email, you don't have that. So in a meeting, face-to-face, Zoom, whatever you want to call it, you can see the other person. If you don't have Zoom or a camera, the voice tells a lot. So leadership happens not just through guidance and the process structure. It happens through being in the moment and showing yourself. And I think that's really crucial, especially in difficult times. But one of my books is about that. You know, it's, you need to know who your team members are. What I mean by that, if you want buy-in, if you want people to follow you, you need to show them that you care. You can't fake it. That's just impossible. But how many managers, how many leaders really know the family situation of their team members? And I'm not talking deep psychological level. But if somebody comes in to the office and you can see that they're stressed, a leader, whether they're positionally above or not, will try to figure out what's going on. How can I help? How can I empower you to get through that? So there is that situation where you need to know that Joan, who just came into the office, has two kids at home. One of them is not feeling well, but Joan didn't have a choice because she cannot afford to be not coming to work. Okay. Or maybe her kids are fine, but her mother is not feeling so well. And so all of that is being amplified in a situation where we can't see each other. But in general, whether you're in the office or not, you need to know who they are and you need to respect them. And what is also, I looked the other day, I'm preparing some stuff, and I looked the other day through one of my folders, and I don't know how many awards I have. And this is not to brag, but I was trying to create some stuff. I'm like, okay, there's one for that year. Okay, every year I got one of these documents. And it's like, okay, I haven't seen these certificates in I don't know how long. They're like two certificates that I have actually up in my room. Okay. All the other ones are in folders. So I was being recognized for good work, which I appreciate, but I wasn't recognized in the way it mattered to me. I didn't need to be up front in front, you know, in the room and having said, oh, here's Natalie Ball. I didn't need that. I probably would have preferred a flower, a thank you, maybe a gift card for coffee. So when we're talking about leadership and knowing your team members, figure out what they want. How do they want to be recognized? And in the example of Joan, maybe a $5 gift card to a bake shop that she can buy something for her kids. You know, we often forget that it is human beings that we work with and that we're human beings too as leaders. Isn't it nice when a team member comes up to us and says, hey, you look a little stressed today. Is there anything I can do for you? It's a different dynamic. Absolutely. Now all of a sudden we're connected.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree. And it's so funny. I do this one exercise sometimes when I have a new client And the first day that I'm training the employees, I'll say, okay, and I do index cards and envelopes. And I said, put your name on the envelope, right? And you have index cards, one for each person in this room. By the end of the training, I want you to write one note of kindness that you noticed about that person. And it could be, I love Connie's curly hair. It could be, I love how Natalie takes the time to respectfully listen, right? It could be anything, anything. You could be that you love their sense of style, right? And how they dress. But you have to write one notion that you've observed from a kindness perspective. And I never, ever, ever ask them to write anything about me. So inevitably, the end of the class, right? And then what they do is they pass the cards around and you take your card, right? And you put it in the envelope and you just go around the room. So you end up with your envelope with all of the kind words from the peers in the room. Inevitably, Natalie, people will write things on the card for me, even though that's not an expectation. Do you know I have them on my desk? Some of them are probably 20 years old, right, from when I first started. And it's things like, you know, Connie makes everything relatable. Connie was so funny today, and I can't believe how much I laughed and learned at the same time. So it's these different notions. And I tell you, when I'm having a bad day, I pull out those 20 or so index cards, right? And they're pretty worn now, Natalie. They're a little worn out. But I pull them out and I read them and I think, oh, that was so nice of them to notice that attribute about me, right? So it's, again, you know, I was leading the class. They didn't have to take the time to do that for me, but they did because they appreciated me. They respected me, right? That's all earned. And you don't do it by saying, and oh, by the way, I want you to write something nice about me too. That never even was a notion in my mind. Yet people felt compelled by how I led the class or how I led their learning. So I think that, you know, the old saying, right? Our parents told us actions speak louder than words. I truly believe that what you say and what you do, the what you do is what they're paying attention to, right? So I know you talk about enlightened leadership, right? So what are the key enlightened characteristics, if you will, where we can make let's make tangible what an enlightened leader means?
I think an enlightened leader, and I'm using that term broadly, enlightened, okay? On the one hand, it's spiritual. On the other hand, it's just being aware, okay? And so an enlightened leader, to me, is someone who has those characteristics of being aware, number one, of his or her tasks, his or her strength and weaknesses, is a good communicator, an open, honest communicator, and you started the show out by that, you know, knows the mission, shows the mission, and walks the mission.
Yeah.
So those are the things that are tangible, and that means all the examples we've just given. Do you know the names of your team members? Do you know where they live? When they come late, do you yell at them or do you ask what's going on? In the COVID situation, well, it's great that the company you were referring to earlier has Zoom. Does every team member have a computer and a webcam at their home is the question, or even internet access? Like, we're assuming that nowadays. So knowing the situation of every member of your team and having constant conversations with them. If you're aware of your team members, if you're aware of your own strengths and weaknesses, you can have honest conversations, and every team member will rise up to do the best job they can. What is more is that by having these qualities authentically, you create an environment where there is trust and no competition. And let me emphasize the no competition piece, because enlightened leaders know that competition can destroy any team. People don't trust each other. So why should I ask Connie for help if then maybe Connie is going to get the next bonus versus me? I'm not going to ask Connie for help. I'd rather sit there and cry my heart out, right? So if you build that team, then you share your enlightenment, your awareness, and you create this trust. And now, if I come into work and I'm just not feeling well, Connie's going to look at me and say, hey, I got you. I'm going to do this document for you. And the next time Connie has an issue, I will say, come on. And let's not forget that we may all got hired for great positions that look great on paper, but things change. So maybe I actually need Connie's help to do the job, or she needs my help. You can't have that if it's all about competition for the next bonus, who's going to be acknowledged in what way, who's going to take credit. So an enlightened leader is aware of all of those constant aspects of the human psyche, as well as of the human latent potential, and empowers that and brings that up. And so when Connie is in a position that's the job that you have, and I realize as the leader of the team that you'd really be better over there and much more happy, then I should be moving you.
Absolutely.
Right? So that would be the, I guess, the encapsulation of what I believe an enlightened leader is.
Yeah, and it's funny. I remember, gosh, this has to be 30 years ago. 30 years ago, when you think about it, right? You pause because it feels like yesterday. But I was a regional sales manager at a bank, and there were two other on our team. There was three of us mm-hmm. and the one leader. And we merged with another bank, so we took on another regional sales manager, came into the fold, and her name was Sandy. And throughout the entire meeting, she was very engaging and enthusiastic, and she had she was bright, like she's brilliant, she still is. And she was sharing ideas, and the leader obviously felt threatened and kept, oh, we can't do that, we've tried that, it doesn't work, and really like putting her off. So I'm observing all this thinking, oh my God, talk about insecurity, right? Like these were great. And I'm thinking these were great ideas. So after the meeting, the other two left and I stayed with Sandy. And I said, first of all, you had really, really good ideas. And I could see her body language shifting mm-hmm. and was feeling defeated, right? Because she was the new kid on the block, that whole, you know, earn your spot. So I said, you had brilliant ideas. That one, I said, if it wasn't her idea, she was the leader, bad leader, by the way. I said, if it wasn't her idea, then, you know, it wasn't a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. That it's got to be her idea, otherwise it's not a good one. So I said, I think you had great ideas. Fast forward, we would work on projects, and there was this really big project. It was my turn. I had just had a baby. So, and I had come back to work, so I had a baby at home. And Sandy did not have any children, and her husband was a business owner as well, and she really loved working. So whatever the project was, and she said in the meeting, she goes, I'll do that project. And mm-hmm. so I looked at her, I go, it's my turn, like my responsibility. It was my mm-hmm. responsibility, right? And she says, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. So we ended the meeting, mm-hmm. and they said, you guys work it out, you know, whatever. And at the end of the meeting, I said, no, you know, you just did this and, you know, blah, blah, that's not fair. And I'll pull my weight and, you know, and she said to me, you have a baby at home. I don't. You're going to be taking work home. I don't, my husband works long hours too. So she said, you know, we have dinner every night, but then we go back into our offices and we work. Let me do it for you. You need to spend time with your family. Can I tell, no one had ever at work, ever, especially another female. Again, this is 30 years ago, guys, listening. I was beyond touched. And I said to her, I feel like I'm giving up my responsibility. Like I'm not pulling my weight. She goes, no one needs to know it. You and I will work on it together, but I will do the extra work, right? So during work, we'll do it. But then if there's anything extra, I'll be the one to take it home. And I was so appreciative because, you know, as a new mom getting overwhelmed, yes. right? And sleep deprivation and all of that. Well, we became such fast friends that now 30 years later, she's still probably one of my best friends ever. And, we, you know, not that we see each other all the time, especially with COVID. Right. That was the kindest thing anyone had ever done to me. She was the leader of the group, not the person who was in the position of power. And, you know, she never told anyone that she helped me with the project. She gave me, and I would say, oh, and Sandy did. She goes, oh, Connie, that was all you. Like she would put it back on me right. because she didn't want the fan, you know, yeah. the like, oh, look at me. That so wasn't who she was. She was truly a team player yeah. and wanted everybody to shine and grow and be dynamic, right? That's yeah. leadership quality. Yeah. That's an enlightened leader. To me, that's friendship, right? And that's trust that you're building with someone. And, mm-hmm. you know, is it because I said they're idiots, you're brilliant, like ignore them? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I believe that she and I were on the same page from that first meeting of respect and care for those that we work with as well. And really, at the end of the day, it's let's get the job done and to the best of our ability as a team, right? So I think philosophically, she and I came from the same place. But to me, that's enlightened leadership. That's a great example of enlightened leadership.
Absolutely. And I think there, while you were talking, there's this other key element in there that you hinted at. That I guess we both hinted at throughout, which is self-confidence. An enlightened leader has to have self-confidence. Absolutely. An enlightened leader needs to know herself, himself, and be okay with, you know, the dark spots, the light spots, the purple spots, whatever. Because if you are self-confident, then you can extend your hand. Then you can empower others. Then it's not about your ego, right? Like in your example with Sandy. So you have to have that confidence that you can walk into a room and say, hey, people, I screwed up.
That's right.
Or when somebody asks you a question, say, well, what is the answer to this? That you can look at this and say, I don't know. Let's look it up.
That's right.
But you have to have that. And I think that is another aspect that that is missing in a lot of leaders. A lot of managers, and it's something that I would almost say society has tried to take out of us a bit. I'm not always talking about society in a bad way, but a lot, because there are social norms, social conditioning, and some societies function better if we all fit a certain mold.
Absolutely.
Right. So if you are not self-confident, work on it. Whether it is with a SWOT analysis, whether it's with a coach, but make sure that you are okay. And once you are okay, embrace, love yourself, whatever terminology you want to use, and you have that confidence where whatever's going to be thrown at you might not be pretty, but you can handle it and you can help the team handle it.
Absolutely.
Then you don't actually have to work on being a leader. You just are.
That's right. It's so funny. And it, you know, I crack up because sometimes when, you know, I'm coaching, teaching, whatever it is, whatever the venue is, right, speaking, right? And later on, or I'll use a story and I'll share a story about a time that I struggled, I failed, you know, a vulnerability, whatever, or how did I not see that before I made this mistake? And people will come up to me saying, we couldn't believe that story. I'm like, mm-hmm. What do you think? I live a charmed life. You know, I'm here because of all of my mess ups, right? All of the mistakes I made. And you know what? If you learn from your mistake, it was a beautiful mistake, right? If you don't learn from your mistakes and you deflect and you blame others, dangerous ground, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I own my, when I mess up, I own my crap, right? That I'm human too. So I think what happens is people are inspired by that because then they look and they go, well, I messed up, but I did learn this. Oh, I'm doing better with that, right? Mm-hmm. It was a learning experience. So messing up and owning your mess ups and your mistakes through life and your failures and all those other things. And I have a coach and it's so funny because I'll say, okay, I'm going to do this. So he gives me the guidance and I go, you know me, I'm failing forward. And he laughs and he goes, I know you're going to charge it. And I'm like, I have to do it because here's the thing. Am I going to do it perfectly? No, but I have to do it and then reiterate and learn from it. I call it failing forward. But if we're afraid where we don't do something because we're like, what? Not perfect yet. Mm-hmm. We're never going to even come out of the starting blocks. So for me, I love that notion of just, I'm not saying live life with risk. That is not what I'm saying. But if you're 80% sure about something, 80%, do it. Just do it. Yeah. The other 20% you can reiterate into being, but you got to take that first step. Fail forward. It's all about failing forward and experiencing, right?
Absolutely. And it's funny that you're saying that because I had a conversation with someone yesterday and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this by the end of May. And she looked at me and said, okay. You know that probably means you're going to like not do so well. I'm like, yeah, that's okay because it's going to be the first run. And what is important is think about, I'm big on words, right? Think about the word mistake. All the other ones are not allowed in my house, right? But mistake. So there's miss, which is a prefix, and then take. Well, think about movies. take one, take two, take three, take four, take five, right? So this was take one. Take one didn't work. Guess what? Let's go back. Let's do take two. Take two wasn't so good either. How about take three? And like you said, we're learning from it.
That's right.
So that's always the key. You know, I don't believe in any kind of mistakes or fails until the moment when you just, you know, don't get that you're supposed to learn something from it. And that's also crucial, like you said, for leaders. You know, being there for the team and saying, hey, this was take one, didn't work so well. Let's go back to the drawing board and do it again together. And that's the other key aspect, right? Together, not, oh, Connie, yeah, you really, no, but all of the team are saying, well, Connie sort of messed up on the PowerPoints, but you know, we're all a team. We could have helped her. That is what a leader does. And while you were talking, I was thinking about something that happened last night. I won't go into too many details, but there was a big meeting, and in that meeting, one person spoke up, and his language was really aggravating. Like, we were all talking about the law of attraction, right? But he came out the gate, I mean, just like, ah, and he used bad language, right? He had a point. I get it. He had a point. And pretty much he was saying what we all were saying, but very, very aggressively. I mean, it was like, oh my God. So in the back room, in the green room where some of us were, I saw some of the people getting, like, they were ready to go out and do something. And so now, what does a leader do? So I want to say there were three leaders in the room, right? One said, the other person, I was just going to call him Joe. Joe is going to handle it. And I said, and I didn't even realize that. That's why I said, I can jump in too. Okay. So then Joe was handling it. And the way that Joe was handling it, because it was all about leadership, right? It was like, no, I don't want my team to look bad going out there and just jumping all over this
Absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely.
So he turned it completely around. And then later in the same meeting, some of us went in, and I'm very analytical in those situations, you know. So I just went in and I brought up all the data, all the facts, and the other stuff that we already talked about that this gentleman missed. And then somebody else came in as well.
Sure.
And it got rerouted.
Sure.
But it was because a leader said, I've got you. You all take a breath. I've got you.
Absolutely.
And turn it around completely. That's enlightened leadership, knowing what to do, when to let your team talk, and when to let your team breathe.
Yeah, and we're almost out of time here, so I just want to make one more comment, and then I'll give your contact information. But what Joe did, again, use the name Joe, I'll just use that name as well. He diffused the situation.
Yes.
So, and this is another thing I think from enlightened leadership too, Natalie, right, is that we all have bad days, and so when we're not all perfect every day. That's a ridiculous expectation to place on ourselves, right? So when you're having a bad day, it's okay to say to your team, I'm off today, whatever's going on at home, my mom is sick or my kids are sick. So listen, I'm going to depend on you guys today. And now you've just take the burden off of yourself, and you're allowing your team, you're empowering them to kind of run with things so that you don't have to be at the helm today. You can kind of sit back and allow them to take the helm. That's trust, right? And you mentioned that word trust before, and I think trust is so important. But enlightened leaders know how to diffuse a situation as well. Instead of allowing it to escalate and become bigger than it is, they break it down and regain control of the situation and understand that that's his perception. He went off the rails a little bit, but hey, my job is to bring them back together and put them back on the rails. So yeah, enlightened leadership really is, it's about owning and then allowing other people to own their greatness and empower them to take the steps, because we can have all the answers. And that's why, you know, another thing, my communication of style assessment that I started with the show, you know, there's five behavioral styles. If I was building a team, I'd make sure I had all five styles, because now we're covering every strength, and we're covering every blind spot, because my blind spot is protected by someone else on the team. Their blind spot might be protected by me or by Natalie on the team. So again, when you build a team, I don't want to just be with people that are just like me, because then we're exposing ourselves to these huge blind spots as well. So yeah, leadership, I think, is about allowing people to be empowered and own their greatness, right? And we lead through people. So go back to my quote. So yeah, guys, if you'd like more more Natalie in your life, which I hope you do, go to her website, which of course I will put on the show notes. It's easy peasy. Go to natalieforrest.com. If you have questions for Natalie specifically and want to see, you know, how to work with her, go to her email, which is info@natalieforrest.com. Natalie, thank you so much for being on. This is such an important topic, and I think that we all have enlightened leaders within us. We just have to understand what are those tangible skills, and then we understand how to move forward, right?
Absolutely. And it's also a choice. You can make a choice if you want to be a leader or not.
Agree. Yeah, and everybody's not meant to be a leader. That's okay. No. Right? We need the worker bees. We need people to support us too. And no matter what the position, you have value that you're bringing to the organization, the team, whatever it is. So yeah, I agree. Everybody doesn't have to be a leader. And some people like being in supportive roles, which is great because we need those people too, right? We can't have too many chiefs, right? We need to disperse the power to everybody and let everybody go into their zone of genius and bring that to the table. So, yeah, thank you for that last point. Well said, Natalie. Thanks so much for being on. Great show, and always good hanging out with you as well.
Thank you, Connie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change, it's always coming, guys. Let's help. I hope my guests and I help prepare you to navigate that change with the different strategies, tools, tips, ideas. And I hope you always approach the show from a place of curiosity. Whether you agree or disagree with what we talk about, that's okay. Curiosity, you just learned another perspective, and hopefully we opened your eyes just a smidge so that you see things from another point of view. And that's where the magic happens, right? That curiosity is what builds magic and momentum when we're talking about that element of change. Natalie, thank you again for being a great guest. Thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I really wish you all just an amazing week, and I hope this conversation today inspired you to become the leader, right, that you're meant to be in your life. Own that power, be enlightened, show up, and I'm thrilled to have you on this journey of change with me. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week.